Good evening, friends, and welcome to this week's edition of Stay Woke with Sibs, an episode entitled Raising Consciousness. I named it that because on this week's episode, I actually speak to a lady named Shannon Knox. And Shannon is basically, let's see how she describes herself here. Says she's a shaman, she's a spiritual mentor and a life coach. She's also a psychic medium. Yeah, and we just have a general conversation about like spirituality and crossing over to the other side, John Edward style or like Long Island medium style. I was just so interested to know how she found out she was gifted and how she uses these gifts and, you know, how we can tap into a different realm, I guess. Yeah, I've always been of the belief that there's a lot more around us or there's a lot more. Some people believe in God, some people believe in Islam. I mean, we all have vast and very many spiritual beliefs. But this one I found particularly interesting. So I invited her onto the podcast this week to have a chat with me about just general consciousness and spirituality things. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Take a listen. Disclaimer alert, the following podcast may contain strong, rude, and offensive language. It could contain explicit or expressive references. The views and opinions expressed here on this podcast, Stay Woke with Sibs, belong solely to myself and my guests and are not those of 5FM or the SABC or any other person or entity. This podcast may also not be suitable for audiences under the age of 18.
So my name is Shannon Knox and I am a shaman as well as a life coach. I also do mediumship, which is crossing over to loved ones and spirit, and I do psychic reading with tarot cards.
A shaman is very interesting to me. I remember studying shamanism in anthropology when I was a student, and it was always really interesting, but it seemed like something that was far away, I guess because I had the experience of traditional African healing, so it just seemed like it was a... I don't like their version of it, like somewhere far away. So I've never met a shaman, even though I know that they exist and they are out there. But so my question would be, how? What do you mean?
Well, I like that question.
Yeah.
So a shaman.
Tell me about your life.
A shaman is really, as you would say, in our South African tradition, we have something similar. So we have medicine men and women, but shaman are worldwide, and specifically the lineage that I study is Peruvian shamanism. So from Peru, so Maya and Inca, that type of shamanism.
Woof.
And a shaman is really a medicine man or woman. Back in the day, they would be in the smaller villages or tribes. They would really just look after the well-being mentally, physically and emotionally of everybody in their village.
And they would trip on shrooms.
Well, there's that. That's what not all that they
is
are,
mind, they take mind-altering substances in order to connect with... Anyway, that's not the point.
That is so far from the point.
No, I'm just recalling something that I learned a long time ago. How did you know? Did you take a course? Like, how does one know that they're a shaman?
Basically, a shaman. So, if we look at existence, for lack of a better word, if we look at existence, there's potentially dark matter, which is 70% of existence. So, potentially, we don't have any knowing of anything really. And so, firstly, acknowledging that we know nothing is a great place to be, and the shaman really works in that space, in those altered consciousness states, and they don't have to be on plant medicine. Majority of the time, they're not on plant medicine. You get shamans that specialize in specific types of shamanism. So like you'd get a lawyer that would specialize in corporate law or labor law, or doctors that are GPs or gynecologists. Shamans too will specialize. Nowadays, traditionally they would do most of everything because they were the only one. Yeah. But nowadays they're more specialized. So some of them would just specialize in plant medicine, some of them energy healings. But we reach altered states of consciousness and we tap into everything that is, but that we may not culturally have knowledge of, and I'm putting that in inverted commas,
yeah,
because we have not got knowledge of much, really. And the shaman just uses the energy that is everything that is, because if you would agree with me, we are that.
Yeah.
Everything is at its purest form energy, frequency, yeah, vibration. And the shaman uses that to heal, manipulate, enhance, whatever it is they're doing.
How did you know that this was your path?
So
I want to know how, like, you woke up one day and you were like, oh, I can cross over to the other side with John Edward, and I'm also going to heal people, and I'm going, do you know what I mean?
So what happened for me was not just waking up one morning, although there's an aspect of that. I can remember from the age of about 4, I remember seeing and hearing spirit as a child, but I grew up in a very Christian home, and it was not exactly something that was exciting, but more frowned upon.
Mm.
So I tried very much to suppress that aspect of myself. Firstly, I thought everybody had it, and then when I realized that everybody wasn't able to innately just be in that state, I tried to suppress it within myself. And that led me to search through various religions for something I knew existed, but didn't know what to call it or what it was. I still wouldn't name it. I would call it consciousness if I had to.
Yeah.
And then as my journey progressed, I lost a lot of loved ones, myself, mother, father included.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
And even a child. Yes. He was stillborn. And when that happened, I decided, well, do you know what? I actually want this back, and I want to do it. And I just thought,
this thing you'd been like suppressing,
thing that I've been suppressing my whole life, which connected me to everything that there is that we all suppress within ourselves.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that everybody can do it. I believe
that everyone can see.
Everybody can see and hear, and I'll tell you why. Because if we are consciousness, we cannot remove ourselves from consciousness, but we can suppress it within ourselves or deny it. So I believe we can all see and hear. And I just opened myself up to that again, started meditating. And, you know, my grandparents were amazing through the journey. They were really supportive. The rest of the family, not so much.
Because you're doing witchcraft, babe.
Well, yes. It was something that nobody wanted to admit existed, and especially within the family dynamic.
Yeah.
So they were like, nope. But my grandparents were really supporting. With them, they really supported anything, even if my so-called witchcraft, which I would never label it.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know. But it really was to them. I remember my grandmother, I would do readings for my gran and whatever the case might be and myself. And my grandmother, one day I went to visit her and she said to me, you know, I went to the hairdresser and I just looked at her and I said, you know, my daughter is a medium. And the hairdresser was blown away, and so I've made an appointment for you to see her. And that's where I started.
Granny!
Actually, seeing people professionally, charging for my services. I have also studied shamanism itself for a good few years.
How do you study shamanism? You obviously
I'm a shaman apprentice.
You
so
must
I
be.
Have a study as an apprentice under a shaman in Johannesburg, Joshua Murray. He has taken my growth in leaps and bounds. He has studied Peruvian shamanism in Peru through the Four Winds School in Peru. He studied with many, many shamans
as
well.
So there are schools?
Yes, there's schools, girl!
Like you don't just...
You can study it like you would study. It's a profession like any other profession.
Okay.
So you do study.
One that requires a certain gift though, right?
Do you think?
But you also have the belief that everyone has...
I do believe everybody
an
has...
An ability to tap ability. Into this, so...
So what I would say, if we look at it like that, it's like learning to play the piano. Some people will learn to play the piano more naturally and they may end up playing the piano in London on stage.
Yeah.
And others will just play it at home for themselves or just for friends or more locally. But everybody can learn to play the piano. And the same is with being a shaman or a medium or anything psychic. We all have the gift, and I know a lot of psychic
comedians.
We all have
a psychic gift.
Are going to not approve of this because, unfortunately, there is some belief that if I teach others, then I will suffer and lack. And I don't believe that. The universe is multi-universal and it is limitless. And everybody that is designed for everybody will be attracted to that person, that energy that they hold. And that's the gift we bring each other, because we all bring each other gifts, because we're a gift in ourselves.
Yeah. In your time of practicing, like, what's the like most frightening thing that's ever happened?
Well, in my time of practicing, I've had a few interesting... So because I do clearings, so I would do house...
What's a clearing?
We have house clearings that I do mostly. I do office clearings or house clearings where there is maybe malevolent energy,
okay,
potentially, or there could be just old stagnant energy. And if you move into a new place, it's always suggested to do a clearing, because everybody that stayed there before you, all their energy is there and it's hanging around there. And maybe they weren't generally happy, so you're moving all your brand new stuff into your brand new place into this old stagnant negative energy. And then also,
I thought you could just burn sage for that.
So you can burn sage, but it depends on what the energy is.
Okay. Got it.
So I have had experiences. I've had experiences where there have been benevolent energies and so on. But more so for me, it was traumatic as a child, because I have more understanding now. As a child, I would have far more traumatic experiences, and I would have, I would have energy or spirit, perceivably, of a lower frequency that would always want to enter my mouth.
What?
Yes. And so for me as a child, it was kind of traumatic. But I haven't had as many traumatic experiences as a lot of the mediums I know. My childhood, I pretty much stood in my power and authority, because that's what I was taught as a child, going to church. And I believe that completely, that I could. And they would adhere, because there's universal laws. And everything knows about it, and everything understands it, and we have free will. So yes, there's that. But I had a few traumas more so as a child. And then also we have, you know, they say that the ocean that the psychotics drowns in is the same ocean that the shaman swims in. So we learn to navigate the oceans of energy and consciousness. We are comfortable there. We love being there. It's really in the same space at the same time as this so-called reality. This reality is also just a projection of our consciousness.
Whew.
Sorry.
Said the little Christian girl.
She went rogue.
She's done. Do you think it clashes? Do you think...
The only thing... I'm not going to say Christianity specifically. The only thing I don't, in my perspective, like about religion is that it causes separation. It boxes things. And there's a big underlying energy of fear. And I really don't...
I'm
in any
sure.
religion... Personally, I don't believe that source, God, the universe, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, is something that we could put our finger on. I believe it's everything and nothing, and that there's nothing to fear about it. It's neither good nor bad. It's everything in its wholeness, and that we're an aspect of that.
Yeah. I think for me, because obviously, I mean, most of us come from these traditional Christian households where different, I don't know, recognition or names for certain things.
Yes.
Like you said, it is frowned upon.
Yes.
But for me, it wouldn't make sense that those things clash, whatever you choose to call it, whatever you believe in. I don't believe that spirituality clashes, because ultimately, it's all the same thing.
Yes. In a perfect world. Spirituality is a very broad term in itself.
Yeah.
Spirituality, what's spirituality to you, what's spirituality to me, and what's spirituality to a benevolent force is very different. So spirituality in itself is such a broad term. I would say that the reason religion clashes with shamanism, if we look at it per se,
yeah.
Shamans do not believe in a god.
Okay.
Shamans believe in nature, energy, consciousness. They believe that God is in everything. So it's not tied down to one all-powerful, fearing being. Guy in the sky with a beard in a bad mood.
Was he in a bad mood?
I don't know. They kept telling us was. There was genuine fear running through my veins as a child with regards to this power that be. Now I have such a loving relationship with it because I understand that it exists in everything, that nothing is apart from it, and that includes us.
Yeah.
That the table in front of us is only matter because it's being condensed into matter, and its purest form is consciousness and energy.
The table is consciousness and energy.
100%.
I wonder what kind of... Okay.
We can go there another day.
Tell me about the coaching that you do. So you're also a life coach.
Yes, I am a life coach.
And you use all of these tools, obviously. It's not like a business. Well, I suppose it is.
It's a business.
No, I mean, I was going to say, like, it's not like going to business school and then seeing, like, that kind of life coach, but it is its own. Like, what do you use? What are your tools? Like,
so, I did study life coaching as I studied shamanism professionally.
Sorry.
No, but that's the general consensus. People think that these things are airy-fairy. They're not a profession. I had to do my time, girl. I have studied and I continue to study, and I don't believe we ever stop studying. I believe that life itself is a school. But yes, so I studied life coaching, and I've integrated the life coaching that I offer with my shamanism.
Okay.
So there's a spiritual aspect to my life coaching because I don't separate the fact that we're mind, body, and spirit. Where life coaching, a lot of it has to do with body and mind. Mm. I also incorporate spirit because ultimately, innately, that's what we are. We can't run from it. We should embrace it. So I do bring the shamanic aspect into my life coaching. So a lot of my clients will come to me and they may say, okay, as a shaman, I would like you to do a soul retrieval. A soul retrieval is really where our soul has fragmented due to traumas in our life. Maybe something traumatic happens and an aspect of your soul fragments in that moment because it can't be in the temple that is your body because it's too traumatic. And that aspect fragments and it goes to another place of consciousness and it stays there because it's safer there.
It's like a horcrux.
So like we're going through that, a lot of us, majority of us, because it happens to all of us, with parts of our soul fragmented.
And how do they know the language? I could never come to you and say, hi Shannon, I need a soul retrieval. I don't have that language. I don't even know what it's called.
I get that. So your average Joe may not know. There's a lot of change with regards to consciousness and spirituality. People are innately seeking it more, so that a lot of them do know the lingo, but I do understand that your average Joe may not. So you would come to me and say to me, well, I've been referred by XYZ and I had a terrible trauma, I lost a loved one, say for argument's sake, and I just haven't been the same since, and I suffer from depression or anxiety, and I have all these things that are going on, and I just don't know. I've tried everything medical, and I'm not shunning the medical profession. There is a place for them.
There's a place for medicine?
For commercial medicine, but, I mean, if you break your arm, my energy healing ain't gonna fix it.
Yeah.
It can help with its healing. After you've seen a medical profession.
Okay.
Anyway, so you come to me and you say to me, I've had this trauma, XYZ. And I say to you, okay, so let's do, potentially, let's have a look at doing a soul retrieval. And the shaman would then have you probably in a more docile state where you just be laying down.
What do you mean? Say what you mean.
No, exactly what I mean. So more in a docile state. You would not have taken anything.
Okay.
Just docile. And they would actually use their rattles or any other tools that they have and move between consciousness and the conscious levels to different places to go and track and retrieve these soul fragmentations. And they, if allowed, and it's for your highest good, can bring these aspects back to your consciousness.
In how?
If I had to explain now how to you, that would be a whole other topic.
Oh my God.
We trained in how, and we already fluent in energy and consciousness. So it's easier for us. We've studied it. So I couldn't really explain to you just off the top of my head.
Okay, It's fine.
Then after that,
so I this is part of the life coaching.
Yeah, well, that would be if you just came to me as a shaman. Then I could say to you, okay, Sibs, we've done a soul retrieval, blah, blah, blah. This is what's happened. This is where you're at. Perhaps we can look at life coaching as well, because you did mention that there are aspects of your life that you need to look at, perhaps finances, relationships.
Yes, all of the above.
Spirituality, all of the above.
Everything you just said.
Every life coach loves to hear that. I shouldn't say that, but we do, because we love to nurture you back to your wholeness. You know, this is not teaching. This is really taking somebody's hand and saying to them, I see what you are. I see you beyond your physical. I see your soul, and I honor that, and I would love to be a part of your journey back to your wholeness with you. It's not about superiority. It's not about teaching. It's not about anything that's better than anything. It's about seeing the oneness and wanting to make that greater.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with regards to the life coaching, maybe you come to me for life coaching, and then we add the spirituality, and then you may further need me for shamanic healings or different shamanic practices.
Which are like what?
So for me personally, as I said, there's different types of shaman. For me personally, I do some plant medicine and ceremonies and so on. And I do cacao ceremonies. Cacao is really just the chocolate plant in its purest form before it's gone through a harsh process to get to the shelf. So cacao in its purest form is really the food of the gods. They used to call it the food of the gods, and there's a good reason for it. It really opens your heart center. And so we do cacao ceremonies where we really get you in touch with higher frequency energies and opening your heart center. People today, I think, have very closed heart centers due to the harshness of life. And I believe that it's not only beneficial to have our heart centers open, but it's beneficial to us to live from that space. So I do cacao ceremonies, I do other plant medicine ceremonies, and I do shamanic energy healing. So some of you may know of some types of energy healing, so like Reiki practices and all that kind of thing. So we have shamanic practices where we do shamanic healings. We also do chakra alignments, and we work on the luminous body.
I mean,
and
align my chakra. Oh my God.
Anytime. I'm going to have to put you in a docile state first.
I'll take it.
And so we work with the energy body mainly. When we do shamanic healing, we work with the energy body. And then if we're using plant medicine, we work with the physical as well as the energy body. And yes, there's so many aspects to shamanism that, I mean, there have been books written on it. But shamanism as a whole is really about not seeing separateness or separation, but seeing everything in everything.
So, as someone who sees their everything in everything, what would you say we need more or less of? Without someone having to like leave their house and come find you and consult you. It just in a general like, where are we at? What do we need?
I would like...
What's going on in South Africa? Like,
well, what's going on in South Africa? Africa, wow. Okay, but what I would like to say is, what I think would be a good place for people to start is not to be so boxed in their perspective and rigid in their understanding. To be a lot more allowing of the unknown. Not to want to control everything so much. To just be open to the natural flow, ebb and flow of everything. Everything's okay. The universe has got you. But we're not in a space of receiving what it's got. We're not in a space of being open to different perspectives.
Yeah.
We're very rigid and boxed in our ways, and that's due to underlying fear, I guess. But it's really blocking so much beauty and so much blessings. So I would definitely say start from a place by not being so rigid and boxed and trying to control. That would be a great place to start. And also to move from our heads to our heart and live more heart-centered than mind-centered.
Open our
heart merikabas and chakras, yes. So be more heart-centered, you know.
I mean, you can say that, but the world is a cruel place and people's hearts have obviously put themselves, they're in little safety boxes with keys and locks and things because of their experiences. So
the world is a cruel place, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm saying the world is a microcosm of the multiverse macrocosm. You're seeing such a small perspective of what is, and you're basing your existence on that. The multi-universe is way far our perceivement, and we're basing our existence on what we can perceive, and what we're perceiving is maybe not even truth, because the truth is there is more good in the world.
Do you genuinely think that?
I believe it with my entire being. Believe it with my entire being, because it would be anarchy if there was not. Do you not think so?
I guess.
So that person
that
allows you to walk
sometimes
in front of them through the door, that person who gives you the space in traffic, I hear you that there's 10 others that won't. But as a whole, this is such a microcosm of the macrocosm, and we're basing our existence on such a small perspective and such a narrow view. The universe's essence is love. Consciousness, the essence is love. We are that. That's our innate essence, but we've blocked ourselves off to that in fear of pain. What if we forgot the fear of pain and lived for the promise of love, beauty, and everything that is good?
What would happen?
Well, potentially, if we all did that, we would have a one love world because we're that in our essence. What would happen? I would love us all to try that and see. The reality is, when we prosper another, we prosper ourselves. When we hurt another, we're hurting ourselves. There's nothing, there is no other. And if we can see that, we've won. There is no other.
Okay. You said something to me yesterday about, yes, I've seen Shannon before. About not engaging things at a lower frequency.
Yes, I did. I did mention that to you. Would you like me to just give a bit of an overview on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I was saying to you, Sibs, is that if everything is energy and frequency, and that is what everything, the whole universe consists of, is energy.
Firstly,
and frequency.
Do you think that people in general engage this lower frequency? Like,
let's just get to a broader understanding of what you're talking
fine,
about.
Fine. Oh my God.
If everything is energy and frequency, and as human beings, we vibrate at a certain frequency, may I say that we each hold our own unique signature frequency, like a thumbprint. But let's say we all vibrate at a certain frequency as human beings, and that's the middle ground. And we have an above ground, so higher frequencies, where we would have benevolent energy. So our loved ones, the spirits, our angels, our guides, all those beautiful higher frequencies.
Yeah.
And then below the middle, vibrating frequency, we would have lower frequencies that also exist, and bless them. They deserve to be as much as we do. If we have higher and lower vibrating frequencies to ourselves, if you wake up tomorrow morning, Sips, and you're in a good mood, and the sun is shining and the birds are chirping, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're saying, Sips, you've got this. You've got this. You are going to absolutely take control of everything. You got this. And then you stand and you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, yeah, girlfriend, I got this. You are innately tapping into a energy that is a consciousness within itself, separate to you, that is giving you positive feedback because your frequency is higher because you woke up in a good mood.
Yeah.
That being said, there's the flip side. So when you wake up tomorrow morning, Sibs, and you stump your toes, you get out of bed, and there's no electricity, and the kettle won't boil, so no coffee, and you go and stand in front of the mirror, and you look at yourself,
like,
and you have this voice in your head saying, I don't know why you bother. I don't even know why you try. Nobody loves you. Everybody hates you. I'm getting some worms. And then Sibs goes, I know, right? I don't know why I bother. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. You are tapped into a different consciousness, a lower vibrating consciousness. And that's what I'm saying to you. It exists in the time and space at all times. And we're accessing it at all times. We just don't always have awareness that we are. And what are you basing your existence on? Lower frequencies or higher frequencies? We get to choose. We always get to choose.